how to improve our japa and bring it to the next level. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gurahari, can you go to and get my red bag? There's a book called Kirtan Guide, and I would like to know, to have the song Amara Jivana, Amara Jivana. My dear devotees, this is maybe the most important of all my little lectures on the subject matter of improving the chanting. See, the whole idea of improving chanting rests on the word of alignment. Alignment means where we bring our body, mind and heart into a situation which is favorable for the practice of chanting. In our japa retreats, we usually have a model which is describing that the holy name really is residing in the temple, in the temple of the heart, and to come before the holy name and have darshan of the true holy name, it's necessary that the practitioner passes through a few gates on the way. We have to bring, for instance, our physical body in a situation where we sit down and pronounce the mantra properly. That's the first thing which we do. The second is what we will be talking about today, both in the morning and the evening, that is to bring our mind into a meditative mood. After all, this is called japa meditation, which we do. And the third gate, so to say, we have to pass is that we chant with devotional feelings, with love for Krishna. then only when we align our body, mind and heart and bring it to the practice can we have Nam Ruchi. That's the whole idea, and I will give you a little analogy to help you understand. Who of you has visited Sri Ranganath in South India? Sri Prahlad Nishinga, you, Raghavananda, not yet, but you come from South, isn't it? But not yet, you have not yet visited. Well, when you visit Ranganath, you first have to go through a few, they're called Gopurams, or gates. You go through one, through the second, and as you go through the different gates, you come closer. Finally, you stand before the Sancto Sanctorum, it's called. Above it is a wonderful golden Gopuram, really beautiful, with a wonderful, you know, almost three-dimensional picture of Sri Ranganath. It's made out of pure gold, we are informed. And now as you stand before the last gate, that the gate before the altar room, you have to wait. This last gate you cannot pass. You can only wait until it opens for you. You can go through all the other gates, but this last gate, which shows you the ultimate realization, the ultimate darshan, is something which has to be opened from inside. The Lord Himself has to decide, I'm giving darshan. So in the same way, you can align your body, you can sit properly, you can chant at the right time, bring your body out of bed at the right time, be Brahma Muhurta, you can pronounce with your lips the mantra and do everything. That's within your power to do. You can also, to some extent, control your mind, and you can read devotional poems to elevate your heart with devotional feelings. But the ultimate revelation of the Holy Name is not under your control. It's, as I said, the door opens from inside. You who stand outside have no handle, no control over this final darshan. I would like to bring you to a time when I had wanted to take darshan of Ranganath, and he didn't want to give his darshan. We had entered the temple early in the morning, before 4 o'clock, and we had sat down before the temple room, the altar room, I wanted to say. We had passed all the gates. And then one very nice pujari came, unpacked a veena, I heard it's called the Ekanta veena, and started to play for Lord Ranganath sweet melodies to wake him up. Slatki melody, yes. Some Slatki melodies. Now, Ranganath didn't wake up. I think he didn't want to wake up. So then they noticed, well, that music is too soft, let us bring the alarm. So they brought a huge elephant, and the elephant started to make his sound 3 times. But still, Ranganath didn't wake up. Then they again told the elephant louder. And the elephant really, you know, this time it almost, you know, it really, I stood next to the elephant. I thought, my God, this is really the super alarm now. Ranganath didn't want to get up. We heard he had a feast in the evening and he wanted to rest a little bit longer that morning. Like it's natural, when you eat a lot in the evening, in the morning you are not enthusiastic to get up. You want to rest a little longer to digest everything properly. That's natural. So Lord Ranganath did not want to get up. And there was nothing in the world anyone could have done to make the Lord get up. Even if the President of India, theoretically, would have come with his bodyguards and said, I have no time, my flight is going to Delhi, I have to attend an important meeting. Nothing in the world would have moved the Lord to wake up. The President would have to either wait or would have to return to his nonsense meeting in Delhi without darshan. So it's the same with the holy name, Radha and Krishna in the name. You can do all types of techniques. You can visit 500 japa retreats. You can learn all types of mental concentration techniques. But you are absolutely dependent on the Lord, whether or not he wants to reveal himself or not. It's up to him. It's not up to any good technique. But, this but is very important, there's something which you can do. You can bring yourself before that last gate. You can bring yourself to the altar so that you are there when the Lord chooses to reveal himself. Many devotees, let me say, have to learn still how they can go through the different gates and come to the altar of the holy name. They have to learn to sit, you know, to do the physical preparations of, you know, proper japa techniques. We have heard a few yesterday. We have to learn what we learned today, how to concentrate our mind and control our mind so that when we chant, we are not absent-minded, but we are present-minded. And we have to maybe learn how to awaken some devotional feelings in our heart. So we have to learn to pass through the gates. But finally, we have to patiently and faithfully, a very important word, faithfully wait before the altar of the holy name, so before Radha and Krishna reveal themselves entirely. So today we will learn how to go through the second gate, the gate of the mind. First of all, some words about the mind seem to be appropriate. I would like to read to you a Bhagavatam text. It's from the 5th canto, the 11th chapter. By the way, if you want to learn mind control, I really want to encourage you to read the 11th chapter of the 5th canto. It's a very short, a relatively short chapter, but it's so full of instructions about the mind that you think, my God, this is written by someone who's really a psychologist. It has been spoken by our Shukamuni, our Shukadev Goswami, and really full of information. So I want to read to you today one verse. After all, we start every day with the Bhagavatam Shloka. Here it is. The covering of the soul, the mind, is the cause of all problems in the material world. The mind, Madhupati, is the cause of all your troubles. It's only the mind, nothing else. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. See, it's the mind is affected by disease, by lamentation, by illusion, by attachment, by greed and enmity. And because it gets affected by this, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy with this material world. You know, something comes in your mind. Wow, this is good. And you become attached to it. And then only you create a certain type of intimacy with the material world. You become close to the material world because this attachment has come into the mind. Or something comes into your mind. It lands like a crow. Crow? Kaka? Yeah, how do we say in Russian? Varuna? Varuna. Crow in Bengali is kaka. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, is it Hindi? Okay, no. Yeah. Kaka. Sanskrit also. So some kaka comes into the mind. And you think this person is my enemy. And then from this moment on, you begin to create a relationship of enmity with this. I would like to give you an example which happened to me in the town of Kumatau. Kumatau is in Baskaria. That's a part of Russia, no? I was there and I gave a lecture and one person came in. He looked like from Tatarstan. Tatarstan means the people of Genghis Khan, you know, with eyes like slits, this Mongolic eyes, you know. And he looked at me and he looked very intensely during the whole lecture. And it's in my horoscope. Some people just hate me. It's without cause. They see me and they hate me. This is my horoscopic situation. Maybe some of you hate me also. So it's normal. So I thought, well, and I anyways sometimes give such crazy lectures that people get upset with me. So I was thinking, wow, here is my enemy. And then I found out it was the regional secretary. Now I have something with authorities. I always was not very, very, very impressed by authorities, government authorities and so on. So that is another horoscopic thing. So regional secretary looks angry at you. I know this picture. It happens all the time to me. So then I said at the end of the lecture, I so much would like to read in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. I just said it because I didn't bring my Bhagavatam with me, and I was just desiring it. So then I give the next lecture, and again this person comes into the room and just looks at me with glaring eyes. Then I say something that we must think independently and not because someone tells us to think. We must think on our own. And then he gets up and runs out of the room and the door just goes bang. I thought, now I have the trouble. I always say it, and all GBC members get on my case when I say think independently. So it's the same scenario. So then, after some time, I'm still in the lecture, lecturing like anything. He comes in again, and there's something under his jacket which goes like this. And I think, all right, now he brought the machine gun, and now I will be killed. He doesn't like me. He hates me. So I'm bringing the lecture to an elegant close, and then wait that maybe the hour of my death has come. Machine pistol, I thought, not machine gun, machine pistol. So he comes to me with this angry expression on his face, and he reaches into the jacket, and I think, now it's either a knife or a machine pistol. And then he goes into his jacket and he pulls out the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. And he smiles and says, Maharaj, you wanted a fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. So I phoned yesterday to Ufa. Ufa is a town in Baskaria land, and from there they got the Bhagavatam, they sent it with a bus, and then I went today and got it from the bus station just for you. Now, I so much loved your lecture yesterday, and what you said today was so absolutely important. I also feel if I always have to tell the devotees, what will they do if I'm not there? They have to learn to think on their own. You made such a good point. I'm so grateful. Finally, one Maharaj understands what we managers have to go through. Finally, he tells the... And I began to understand the power of the mind. It's the mind. Some thought had just entered my mind, which was totally incorrect. I had thought, he's my enemy, he hates me. It's just the mind which makes such ideas. It's a kaka which lands there. Hare Krishna. It's a crow. Yeah. So this is why Bharat Maharaj tells to Maharaj Rahugana, it's the mind which covers the soul, which is the cause of all tribulation. Tribulation means troubles in the material world. And then he describes why. Because the mind is affected by disease, by lamentation. I was infected by lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. And then when you are affected in your mind by these things, a false sense of connection with the material world is made. And Bharat Muni gives us another verse. Would you like to hear this? It's really intense. This is not for beginners in Krishna consciousness. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. Dayal Gaurangaji. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful. And it will become victorious. Although it is not real, what is going on in the mind, huh? It's very strong. It covers the spiritual position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. So if you want to control your mind, Raghavanandaji, you have to do service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, your mind will get the better half of you. It will control you. This is what Bharat Maharaj gives us as a mind control service. I was thinking very much about this. How is the mind controlled if you do service to Guru and Krishna? I mean, you do not do anything particularly to address the mind in this, you just do service, some project. Here comes the answer to you. If you can control the mind by the strength of blessings. Blessings which come into you from the Lord and His devotee will create a favorable situation for your mind, so that your mind can remember Krishna and not forget Him. No, you need blessings of the great souls, so that by this power, by this power of blessings, the mind becomes peaceful and becomes your friend. My dear devotees, look at the mind. The mind constantly talks to you. From morning till evening, it gives you ideas which you should do, and it tells you what you should not do. In Sanskrit, we call this sankalpa and vikalpa. We accept something, let's do that, and we say, no, vikalpa. We reject something. The mind is constantly going in these two operations. It says, let's do that, when is there some prasadam to eat? When you eat prasadam, oh, this is too sweet. I mean, this never happens in ISKCON that someone says, this is too sweet. too much chili, you know. Oh, no, I don't like this. Devotees really die a slow sugar death in our Krishna consciousness movement. Maybe they should sometimes say, don't use so much sugar. The mind says, I like this person, I do not like this person, I like this class, I don't like this class, I want to go here, I don't want to go there. The mind is constantly talking to you. The mind can almost be compared to a roommate. Do you know what is a roommate? When you study in some place, you, as a student, you usually get a room which you share with a roommate. No? And then, and imagine you live, or you are an angel. Tattoo, it says. And now imagine you live together in a room with a roommate which constantly talks to you and never allows you any peace. You want to sit down, read a book, and study something and make notes, but the mind says, the roommate says, did you know, today in the cinema there's such and such movie? Did you know this? You say, please, I just can't control, I can't just think of movies. I have to prepare this. I have to concentrate on the thing. Oh, did you know Erica said to Monica yesterday about you that your frisura, your haircut looks absolutely cool. Really, did Erica say that? Please leave me alone. I have to concentrate and I have to write my thesis here. Then, oh, it's too cold in this room, isn't it? I don't care about it if it's cold. I have to concentrate. I have only half an hour more left. Please leave me alone. Then after some time, bzz, bzz, bzz. You are so hungry, you idiot. Get up and eat something. Well, what do we have? Some good muesli with raisins we have. do you really think I should eat something? Yes, you are so hungry. I didn't know that I'm hungry, but maybe I am hungry. And then you get up and you stop your studies and you eat muesli with raisins. This is, the mind is constantly talking to you. Imagine one, let us make one experiment. Who is the best devotee here? Gaurahari. Gaurahari is the best devotee. Imagine we would make a loudspeaker and connect it with Gaurahari's mind directly. And whatever Gaurahari thinks, that will go over the loudspeaker. You will find out many things about Gaurahari which you wouldn't believe they are true. It's the mind. I'm sorry, Gaurahari. No problem. Well, worse even, if you would put this on Sachinandan Swami's mind, you would not believe. I think Daya Gauranga would not invite me any longer. It would really sound like it's like the voice of a crazy man, you know. Always jumping, disconnected thoughts, you know. Private neuroses. The mind is neurotic, emotional, self-centered. Why don't we fire this roommate? We don't need you. Yes, yes, go outside and lock the door. And then we start to work with all seriousness. You know, if you have an advisor which constantly has given you bad advice, Raghavananda, what do? You say, no need for you any longer. Goodbye. But the mind, which has so often brought you in trouble, which has so often connected you with wrong things, like I told you with my Russian story, my Balochistan story, or what is it, Baskaria story. You know, the mind has so often given us wrong information. It has so often brought us in trouble. It has so often made, you know, some of you are twice married or thrice married or fourth time married. It has so often brought you into the wrong relationships. The mind thought, this is the best partnership you can imagine. Go for it. And so on. The mind is... Daya Gauranga is saying the word Om. Not Om, Om. Yes, Om. No, this is the word for the mind, the Om. It sounds like Om, but it's Om.
And Om means smoke from the fire.
Smoke from the fire. Oh, Om. Om. Smoke from the fire. Thank you, Prahlad Narsingadev. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if we should chastise the mind, we should make him chaste every morning and every evening. We must control it in terms of giving it the broomstick and the shoe treatment. Now, many devotees have asked themselves, how do I chastise my mind? It's so subtle. I can't bring a stick to beat the mind, or I can't tell it to go, like saying to a roommate, go, leave me alone. Here is something what you could do. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advised that we sing this song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a beautiful song. I first heard it being sung by His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj in a beautiful melody, which I will sing for you. You should go through this mind and through this song, and as you sing it, you become very much Krishna consciousness. Amara jivan sada papirata nahi ko punyera lesh pore pore udvega diache ye koto diache jivera klesh nija sukalage Pape nahi dori, doya hina svata paro, para suke duke sada mityabashi, para duka suka koro. My life is attached to sinful activity. And there's not even a small part of goodness in it. I have caused others anxiety and given trouble to other souls. For the sake of my own happiness, I have openly performed sins. I am without compassion. I am concerned only with my own selfish interests. I am always telling lies. I become miserable to see the happiness of others. Others are happy, I go like, oh no, why not me? But when I see how others are miserable, it gives me great happiness. There are so many material desires within the core of my heart. I'm full of anger. I'm attached to arrogance. I'm intoxicated by vanity. Vanity means I'm thinking I'm the most beautiful or intelligent. I'm always bewildered by enjoying sense objects. And my ornaments are violence and pride. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to his mind, stop blowing me up with false ego. I know what I am. To become famous, I engage in tricking others. I'm secretly lustful. When I see a woman, or when I see a man, you know, women see men. Something in my mind is getting agitated. I'm a victim of my own greed, and I'm rejected by saintly persons. Saintly persons say, Hare Krishna. I'm a constant offender. I always have separate interests from the interests of Krishna. So he writes about, or sings about, these qualities. At the end he says, now, helpless and desperate, I submit this tale of grief, this means my sad story, at the feet of the Lord. This is what I do. I say, my Lord, you need to help me. I can't help. And that's what Bharat Muni says. We have to turn, if we want to control the mind, we have to turn to the Lord and ask Him, please, my dear Lord, please, you do the business. My mind is very strong, and it's very unsubmissive. It just does not want to be a saint. Another way how to conquer this mind is chanting. There is a very nice lecture by Prabhupada, and we might have it on the computer, isn't it? Where Prabhupada says, what's the question of the mind? Can you try to find it? I would like to really play this part of the lecture. It's just 1 minute in Prabhupada's own voice to you. Prabhupada, during his preaching, was often asked by devotees how to conquer the mind, because it is a deep question. Krishna Chaitanya, what do you do to control the mind? And Prabhupada did give an answer to this, and I would like to play it to you. You will be really surprised. Is it possible to put it loud? See,
that's maybe.
It may be loud enough. Please, you have to listen to this.
It's very difficult to control my mind when I chant. One does?
What is he controlling a mind? You have to chant and hear, that's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear, that's all. What is the question of mind?
So we will play it again, because some of you didn't just get it. They're too surprised. What? The question is, Prabhupada, it's very difficult for me to control my mind when I chant. Do you also feel this sometimes? And Prabhupada asked, what is the question of the mind, he says. You chant with your tongue and ear. That's all. Finished. Mind control finished. Some of you look so absolutely surprised that it's so simple. Let's hear it again, okay? Now please hear it again.
It's very difficult to control my mind when I chant. It's very difficult to control my mind when I chant. One does?
What is he controlling a mind? You have to chant and hear, that's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear, that's all. What is the question of mind?
You have to chant with your tongue and hear, that's all. What's the question of controlling the mind? Chant with your tongue, produce the sound vibration, and then bring your sense of hearing with full attention to the sound, and then the mind will be controlled. Now, now, for someone who is as pure as Srila Prabhupada, it is indeed very simple. As soon as a pure devotee hears the holy name, all of his thinking, feeling, and willing is immediately and very forcibly drawn to Krishna's sweetness. But you know, What should we do? Our minds are not so pure. There's a lot of question of the mind for us. And Prabhupada has said this in another part in the Bhagavatam. He said, no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can give rapt attention, is konzentrierte Aufmerksamkeit, who is not pure in mind. Because when your mind is impure, all these impurities will come. You know, you try to give rapt attention, you try to concentrate, but jup, this picture is there, jup, that picture is there. And he says, no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. So if you want to have a pure mind, you have to have pure sex life, you have to be pure fearing or defense, your defense systems have to be pure, you have to have pure sleeping, not too long, You have to have pure eating, and then your actions can be pure. And only when your actions are pure, is your mind pure. If you act in impossible ways, like you know, you see all kinds of movies, then the movie doesn't stop when you switch off the movie. It continues for a whole lifetime. You've just entered a new information in your mind, which will go there. Especially when devotees see modern movies where the four rules and regulations are absent. In fact, the movie sells when the four rules of decent behavior are broken. So that plays on in the mind, keeps on moving. The movie moves on and on. Chanting is easy if you are pure, but chanting is difficult if your mind is not pure. There's a quotation from the Hari Bhakti Vilas which says that only a rare person can always chant. It says like this: O Bharata, only a person who has worshipped Lord Vasudev for hundreds of lifetimes always has the Lord's holy names on his lips. So therefore, you have to learn to practice controlling the mind. Prabhupada gives us a quotation, and I will end with this quotation, but please be very attentive. It's very important for you to hear this. Everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this Krishna conscious movement means to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. You know, you have to bring your mind from the material to the spiritual level. For this we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles, Prabhupada says, I cannot run even 1 mile. He has practice. Strength of heart is increasing by practice. By practice, everything can be attained. Life is short, and it is so much disturbed. So what should we practice? Prabhupada says, there's one practice. Chanting Hare Krishna and hearing. That is very nice. And praying to Krishna. Please give me strength. No?
Please give me strength.
Please give me strength.
Please give me strength.
Hare.
Hare.
O energy of Krishna.
O energy of Krishna.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
I am so fallen.
I am so fallen.
I have no strength.
I have no strength.
Please accept me.
Please accept me.
I have no qualification.
I have no qualification.
I am so weak.
I am so weak.
I am trying, but I am failing. And, you know, Prabhupada ends, he says, all these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all-powerful. He can do everything. See, many, many people think they have to be controlled by the mind. They don't know that they can control the mind. And I would like to now make an experiment with you. No, an exercise. It's not an experiment. Where I would like to show you how it's very easy to control the mind. Would you like to make an experience? Our little boy, you are ready? Good. He has such an attractive smile. Yes. So here comes the exercise. I will tell you different things to think of, And your duty is to think of this and let a picture come. When I'm with non-devotees, I relax them, but if I do this now here, I will be in the new theater of Mangamaya, and I'm therefore I'm not doing it. So I wish, but please do sit properly. Sit down, because if you sit like this, it's easier for you to think. I will now give you different things to you, different commands, and then your task is to think of this. A blue summer sky. Now you please direct your mind to a blue summer sky. Without clouds. A blue summer sky with white clouds. The cover of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a little bit more difficult. Let us concentrate. What was on the cover? There is Krishna on a chariot with how many horses? Don't speak. Just answer this in your mind. How are the horses, and in what direction do they move, and how do they move? It's amazing. Now I can feel how, I mean, I know in my life how the pictures come. All right. Now. Oh yes, I have to see, is this the time where we can break the fast? Who knows? When is 8:30? Okay, then it's all right. Think now, Prabhus and Matajis, of a pizza with Kaperi and enough olive oil. How does it look? Is there cheese on top? Tomatoes, maybe? It's easy. Good. I don't think we have to do more of this. It is just an example how you can direct the mind. So what Prabhupada says is the main thing of practice. And my dear devotees, I have seen this many, many times in Krishna, in his writing. He always writes about this. This Krishna conscious movement means to practice transferring the mind from one kind of consciousness to another. You have to just learn to not allow your mind to be with material things, You have to put it on another level. And the easiest way, the easiest practice to do this is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and to practice to hear it. Now, to practice to hear it, that will be the subject matter of this evening's class. We will actually learn to hear, and you will be surprised what will happen this evening with you. You will be surprised. For now, I wish to end this. Let us just take our bibek and let us please practice this. Our tongue will produce, or if you don't have a bibek at this moment with you here, no problem. It's just for a, only for a few minutes, 2 minutes. And your task is to chant with your tongue and to concentrate your mind just on hearing. And I want to do it with you in a way where we all chant in one voice. I will first chant for you alone so that you know the right tonality. And then when I give you this sign, then we all chant in one voice. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda. I will chant alone now, it's for you to see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What you will do is, you will just chant, and all you bring your mind to, you direct it, just like you directed it to the clouds and the in the sky and the pizza, you have to now direct it to the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra, okay? Just take it, and like the beam of a torchlight, which you can direct here, there, and everywhere, you take the mind and you transfer it to the sound of the holy name. I will chant it again, alone, because that was a little bit too high. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Continue to chant. Bring your mind to the sound.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue, please. Enter with your mind into the river of the sound, the flow of the sound. As if you go into a river, you just enter into the flow of the sound. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you. This was the first level. Now we will go on the second level, which is a little bit more difficult. This is a technique which we teach at the Vashana Japa retreat and also in America and everywhere. It's called the One Mantra technique. Your task will be to concentrate on one mantra. Whenever the mind wishes to go while you chant this one mantra, you just don't allow it to go. You just tell it, it's one mantra, you're with this one mantra. Now when the mantra has finished, you know, the last Hare Hare, then you switch your mind, you give it another order, you tell your mind one mantra, it's again one mantra. But it's not that in the beginning, as you chant, you tell your mind, I will concentrate on one mantra at a time. And then when the time is over, the next mantra. No. It's only one mantra, because the mind is like a child. When it hears one mantra, it says, I can do that. When it hears 80,000 mantras, it goes like... So you just stay with one mantra if I say at a time, it means there will be another time. This is, I know it's very difficult to translate. Don't try to translate. You can tell your Ukraine bhaktas later, you know. But it's really, you concentrate on this one mantra, and you stick with that mantra. And when the next mantra comes, don't worry about it. But when it comes, it's one mantra. I will chant alone. Please listen. And listen to one mantra. And then when you hear this, that means we will all start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama. I'm not allowing my mind to think anything else, and it likes it, because one mantra I can do. Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare... One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare... One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. I want to congratulate some of you. I could see that you chanted one mantra. If we only can chant one mantra with full attention, then our mind has stopped. The roommate is silent. Now your spiritual life can start. Hare Krishna. So this is something on concentration. In the evening we will enter much, much deeper into this. Let me see if there are a few quick questions. Yes.
I have a comment to this.
Yes.
Because for many it's difficult to understand that if you try to control the mind, it's difficult. But it's quite natural, because if you try to put force on the mind, then it gets stronger. So the only way is to attach it to another thing, to a higher taste. And therefore, then it's very easy. Then it's losing control.
It's very, 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 very important what Daniel just said. Yes. Did you all follow this? If you, sometimes you see devotees who really try to control it, but by using force on the mind. But the mind will nevertheless go. And it's often, if the more force you apply, the more strong it becomes, because he says, "Do you want to fight with me?" And then the mind will show you it's much stronger. The scriptures say it has godlike powers, the mind. It's part of, you know, this conditioned field of consciousness, the cetana. Cetana is the consciousness which pervades everything. It's really a powerful thing. It's material energy. So, but if you attach it to something else, to sound, then the mind is, you know, it's just attached to another sound, and then it goes easy to control it. That's the whole idea of Prabhupada saying, what's the question of controlling the mind? You just chant and hear. That's a very deep point behind it. But as we know, when the mind is so impure, it becomes a bit difficult. So with this one mantra thing, which is a gentle practice, it's not one mantra, one, you know, you just gently say one mantra. And you just float through the mantra. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Daniel. Yes.
You started the lecture by mentioning how for the last dog we are so much dependent on the mercy. And then you explained the function of the mind and some way to control the mind. And often we get so many tips that will actually push us more and more into controlling or doing ourselves, and it seems that going to the other pole, that to be dependent on the mercy, that's like we are more identified. I do like this. I control the mind. And how do you have some more tips, maybe how we can more allow the mercy to come, or be more open to the mercy? Or maybe I see wrongly that it looks like opposite is controlling and letting Krishna. Or you can elaborate a little on that.
In one Krishna Leela, the Damodar Leela, there appears one very significant episode, you know, where Mother Yashoda wishes to bind Lord Krishna, but the rope remains 2 finger breadth too short, too short. So at that time, there in that purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said the Lord wanted to show that two things have to come together: the endeavor of a devotee and his mercy, and Krishna's mercy. Two things have to come together. Two fingers. So, when you want to obtain the mercy, you have to show Krishna that you are not indifferent obtaining his mercy. You want his mercy. You have to make an attempt. It's almost like a child which learns to walk. It has to raise the arms a bit, and then the father or mother or brother or whoever teaches him comes and picks the child up. So if you never do anything to show Krishna that you wish to have his mercy, then Krishna will not show you the mercy, thinking that he doesn't want it. But you have to be careful to not come into the other extreme, that you think by your endeavors you can control the Lord. It's always Krishna consciousness is so subtle. On one hand you have to act, on the other hand you have to wait, you know, to expect the mercy. I want to give you certain, for instance, if you wouldn't endeavor to eat vegetarian food which you offer to Krishna, you would soon see that you will be covered by the mode of tamagun totally. If you wouldn't endeavor to get up in the morning, but just rest and rest and rest, you would see that your life gets covered by the mode of ignorance. So some endeavor is necessary, but in spiritual life, you know, most of your advancement happens by mercy. But that little endeavor you have to do, and at the same time, no, I'm not doing anything. Krishna allows me to do. It's something like that. Yes, the great danger is when you have techniques that you think by your techniques you will now force the door open. But that is a great illusion. Yes. I think he was first, yes.
Mm-hmm. We are applying different techniques to control the mind. After some time, I mean, it's few days, it's fine. But after a few days, then it has this develop this ability to switch off even to latest new technique also.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then we are always falling short of new techniques.
Yeah.
How do we really teach mind?
The answer is practice, practice, practice. You know, first when you start running, you can run for 200 meters, then you can run for 400, and finally you can run for 20 miles, like the marathon runners. So first you stay with the mantra. You hear the mantra, maybe one mantra out of 16 rounds. And then you go more into it, and then after some time you hear many. But let us not forget, it's Krishna's mercy when we can hear. We try our best, let Krishna do the rest, you know. We sit down in a clean state in the morning, we go into an atmosphere which is free from disturbance, that's important, and then we are in the disturbance free atmosphere, we sit properly, we pray, then we chant, and wherever the mind wanders to, we bring it back. But you will see, when Krishna gives you the mercy, then you do all these things, but some other force comes. Krishna's Akashana Nishakti comes. It pulls your mind. It steals your mind. It kidnaps your mind. And then everything is so simple. When your mind is pulled by Krishna, everything is so simple. Therefore, yesterday, I wanted to talk about Krishna. I felt that was more important than talking about techniques and so on. I thought let's hear about wonderful Krishna and his wonderful pastimes. So techniques are helpful. I mean, Prabhupada says very clearly you should practice. You know, practice, practice. But after some, but they are not all in all, because you say the, as you say, the mind can switch off with any technique. Of course, I have seen yogis who really practice and they are really accomplished. I saw in Benares a yogi who was so good in mind control. It was amazing. He lived on the Ganga in a little boat, but for his meditation or practice, he would go to the midst of the street corner. And he would meditate on the street corner. And I asked him, why do you meditate in the midst of the street? And he said, I'm just learning how to be fixed in my mind even when there are so many disturbances. And I mean, Indian street corners are wild. I mean, wild. You know, you are from India. There's everything is possible on an Indian street. Suddenly an elephant comes, then a camel comes, then a car comes, which doesn't even look like a car because it's so creatively built, you know. They have cars in India. I mean, you faint when you see them as a European. They are so creatively built. And he meditates, and he is not disturbed. He has learned this. He can go anywhere. He can go in an airport. He can be on an airplane. He has practiced his life. At the time of death, he just meditates, no problem. His mind cannot be disturbed by death even. I'm sorry, first our other devotee. Wie ist nochmal dein werter Name? Bernhard, Entschuldigung, Bernhard, yes.
So the whole yoga philosophy and all this knowledge out of Ayurveda and different areas is, so to speak, to silence the mind by postures and diets and all kinds of things. So the excitement is going down, so when finally one would reach a state, that is how I understood enlightenment, whether it is then achieved by contributing things on our own and then getting pulled by Krishna towards the final stage, which we have not under control, but when this is realized, when the point is reached that the self, our real self, is experienced, that means, that is how I understood enlightenment, that I identify not anymore, or cannot even be able to identify anymore with the subtle levels of the mind, not to speak of the gross levels. If I identify with the total silent self, transcendental with the soul, that then only I would be free of the influence of the mind. And if then I would devote myself, because I'm then absolutely concentrated, if I cannot disturb it anymore, if I would devote myself to God, to Krishna, then I would have it very easy.
What you explain is called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. It's Bhakti mixed with Yoga, or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Bhakti mixed with Jnana. Pure Bhakti is different. For a pure Bhakta, Krishna can take him even before he has reached control of the mind, because his passions are totally directed on Krishna. There is this prayer where the devotee prays, "My dear Lord," in the same way as young boys are automatically attracted to young girls, and young girls are automatically attracted to young boys, please make my attraction come to you. In the same way, here you see how passion, Leidenschaft, is used to connect you with Krishna. Once the connection with Krishna is there, the enlightenment happens, even though you have not yet reached self-understanding before that time. But in that connection with Krishna, the self-realization is automatically given to you. It's like, you know, when you are a part of Krishna, you are a tiny spark of the big fire. So when the spark again gets into the fire, in other words, when you are connected with Krishna, or Krishna conscious, then by the force of the fire, your spark, which has become very, very almost extinguished, again catches fire and is again in the fire. So in bhakti, we don't need to be self-realized before we have bhakti. Bhakti makes us self-realized. That's the idea of pure bhakti. And whereas the idea of jnana mishra bhakti is I should first be in knowledge, and from that stage on I develop devotion. Or yoga mishra bhakti, I should first have attained samadhi, which is the equipoise pose of the mind, and from there I travel further to go into the land of Krishna. Here, pure bhakti is, and there are many examples. Have you heard about Ras Khan? Ras Khan is the best. Ras Khan was a Muslim, how do you call these people? Homophilic or homop? You know what I mean. He was unnaturally attached to a Hindu boy. You know, he had a relationship with a Hämophilia, you know. Er war, wie sagt man das nochmal? Hämo, also ich habe das jetzt vergessen. Da gibt es so ein Wort in Deutsch für. Jemand ist Hämo. Pädophil, ja. Ja, pädophil oder so. Er war also attached, he was attached to a boy who was very beautiful. Now once it happened that three sadhus came from Jatipur and they talked about Krishna. And Ras Khan heard how they talked and laughed about the beauty of this boy. And he misunderstood. He thought, well, my God, he must be like this super sexually attractive boy, you know. Only then people laugh like this or talk like this about somebody. He must have given this man great sensual pleasures, and now they are just so excited to talk about him. And so he went to the three devotees and said, about whom are you talking? And they saw this man who was also Muslim, and Muslims were known as haters of Hindus. He said, no, we don't talk about anything. We have just talked about the weather. You understood it wrongly, you know. So they wanted to just get out. But Ras Khan pulled his knife, went to the throne. Where is that boy about whom you are talking? Show me this boy. I want to also get to know him. You know, and at the tip of the knife, that Bhakta pulled out a picture of Krishna, which he had in the turban. And he said, here's that boy. And Ras Khan looked at the picture, and in fact, it was very beautiful. That boy only had a little gamsha here, and he looked very attractive. The hair and the big eyes, my God, and the lips. Wow! Beautiful, you know. He felt like these modern people when they see Madonna or, you know, some Marilyn Monroe. They go like, crazy, you know. So he felt like that. And he wanted to... So where does this boy live? In Vrindavan. But you will not meet him. I will meet him. I'm Ras Khan. So he went to Vrindavan and he had that picture with him. And he looked everywhere for this boy, but he didn't find him. Then someone, then he showed to some sadhu, have you seen this boy? And the sadhu said, well, he lives inside the temple. Acha, thank you for the tip. So he went into the temples and looked at the altars, and he compared, but he couldn't find that boy. Krishna Chaitanya, Hari Bol, Guten Morgen. He couldn't find that boy. So then he went to the Govardhan Hill, and there was a beautiful temple on the Govardhan Hill. He hadn't seen that. He was not inside the temple. And he wanted to go in, but the guard said, you can't come in. They were, you know, armed. They had lances and spears and swords. Raskhan couldn't go in the temple. But he had a feeling that maybe the boy whom he worshipped was, whom he wanted to meet, was inside that temple. So he went to the other side. It's called Govindakund. And at Govindakund, Hare Krishna, he sat down and fasted. And he said, I will fast until I see this boy. So inside the temple, Nachi, that is, or Gopal is his name, he knew, he's so determined, he fasts. So he appeared to this great guru, his name is Vitalnath, who was riding on a big horse. This guru had a big horse. And he said, go to my devotee. He's a little passionate, unfortunately. He fasts at Govindakund and give him initiation so that he and train him that he can have my darshan. So Vitalnath then went to Govindakund. As soon as Raskhan, who was already fasting for 2 days, saw Vitalnath, he could understand somehow in his heart, he is coming from that boy. He could understand it by the effulgence, by what it did in his heart. He is sent by this boy whom I want to meet. And he became very submissive, and Vitalnath gave him mantras to chant to purify him, and asked him to take a bath in Govindakund and many things. And then after some time, Raskhan was allowed to go into the temple on top of the Govardhan Hill, and there he had darshan of that boy. That temple is in Yatipur, from where the three devotees came, who had talked about a boy and who had arisen his curiosity. So this is an example how bhakti, when it's given, can uplift even the unqualified person. And by binding him to Krishna, and when you are connected with God, Bernhard, when you are connected with God, you will naturally awaken to your spiritual identity, because he is like the fire and you are like the spark. When you enter there, you will burn with the fire. It will all happen. All right. Now we come to the last question. Our don't tell your name, I know it. Raghavananda. Yes. Raghavananda Prabhu.
Maharaj, you were giving an example of this runner, who becomes perfect by practice
more, yeah. And
Can we also apply the same things, when we come to our chanting, a runner first runs for 50 meters, mm-hmm. for a period of 1 week or something like this. When he gets used to that, slowly increases to the next 25, and then comes to slowly progresses. So when we are progressing, when we want to progress in our chanting, so immediately when we apply the tips, maybe we can concentrate on some mantras in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Later again the mind goes away because it has no retention to concentrate in the beginning in the, for the whole stretch of 16 rounds. So how to approach? Should we apply the techniques to first few rounds and then gradually increase such that...
Yes, but you will see as you apply, as you hear the Hare Krishna mantra, something Raghavananda will take over. Krishna will see how you are endeavoring, and then Krishna will help you to control your mind. And by pulling your mind with his Akashana Shakti, with his pulling force, and then you are there. I think we all know these moments of chanting where we go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. No question of controlling the mind. Why? I'm chanting, it's so good, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't we know this? And we feel light, we feel almost like floating, an albatross. So now we will quickly come to the end because some of you are tortured with tiredness. You want to eat your prasadam now after, and I will no longer keep you. Hare Krishna. No. The devotees are falling asleep because they're so hungry. They should take the prasadam now. We can, in the evening, you please retain the question, and in the evening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.